Okay, then, going on, as we were just talking about, we are really this royal priesthood. And we are covered, and we are a peculiar people. One bought with a very special price. And that is why he is teaching us now, so that we can train and teach all the rest of the sheep as they come back. And many are starting to come in just from the world. Never had anything to do with the church before. So that's always encouraging. You see God's working, and you see him bringing in more of his brethren, and this is really wonderful. Let's turn over here to Acts. Going on a little bit with this one raised from the dead, because that was a big deal in this thing. You know, if you brought someone back from the dead, oh, then we know. Then we'll believe. A great miracle, and then we'll believe. Do these things believe because of a great miracle? Does anyone believe because of a big a miracle? The answer is no. Acts 10, starting in verse 36. Says the word, this is Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace. Remember, he's listening to all of this. By Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You know, hey, you saw this rich man. You saw all of this. Why are you bringing up these parable, these questions in this parable? Because you're a lying spirit. That's why. He saw Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Totally opposite of Satan. This person is doing good for the first time on the earth, perfectly, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oh, wait a minute. I get the picture. This rich man sitting over there, accusing, railing, everything else, and this young man who was given God's Holy Spirit was going around healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him and not with Satan. And Satan didn't like it. He saw it. He's the only one on the earth doing this. Think he wouldn't have seen that? He ended up murdering him. And we are witnesses. Peter is talking about, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. They who? Not just the Jews, not just people, Satan and those demons. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Openly. You want someone coming back from the dead? There he is. There he is. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us. You know, it's interesting there. Not to all the people. The whole world didn't see this. They all read about it later through this. But unto witnesses chosen before of God. It didn't happen at random. It's all planned. It's all there. Of course, Satan was seeing it all. Even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Can you just think a minute? Can you imagine that happening? to any individual, let alone Jesus Christ. And here he's back. He taught you for 3.5 years. And now suddenly he's back eating and drinking. And you saw him die. And he was in the grave. And now he's back with you. Now, in a little different form there, but he was at least appearing in physical form. Who did eat and drink with us after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, the poor, the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Yeah. This was the one. This was the ruler. To him give all prophets, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Oh, those are huge, big statements. Before it was the blood of the animals. And now whoever believes, really believes on him and does it, will receive that remission of sins. Man, that is something. The rich man, Satan, saw God's power. He saw Christ be raised. You know, he stood there and he saw the church receive the Holy Spirit and the power and the seven churches to come after it. He saw it all, and he's without excuse. And there's this great gulf there. Great gulf. Are we going to have great gulf in the kingdom? Just sounded like it was great gulf. It's a great gulf between. Great gulf. Can't get past that. Can't build a bridge there. It's a great gulf. And God has set it by his power. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Because we're going to follow. We are going to follow. What a marvelous plan. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, starting in verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would like to see a sign from you. Well, we're going to see a sign. But he answered unto them, and he's talking about this evil and adulterous generation is all a satanic generation. It says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Did you ever look for a sign? No, you never looked for a sign. You heard the Word of God. You received the Holy Spirit. You just did it. You didn't have to see any raised from the dead or anything else. You knew. You understood. But an evil and adulterous generation, which is that satanic generation, seeks after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. No, it didn't take much brains there for Satan to go, oh, that's what he said. And he waited. Oh, that's what happened. Duh. You know, what do you want? What do you need here? It says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Yeah, When they get up there and standing with God and see Satan and the demons and all what they did, they're going to condemn it, aren't they? Just like all of us will. Because they will no longer have that computer chip within them. And they will see things the way they should see them. And they'll see what evil Satan has brought within their lives. And they will condemn it. And they will condemn Satan and those demons. And shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. I mean, the prophet came through, and at least they were inspired to repent and all that physically. But here, the very Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all that thing went, everything that went through with him. And these things saw it. Did they change? No. What more do they need? And the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear just the physical wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And they still didn't listen. They still didn't seek. They still didn't follow. So if one came from the dead, that's going to change anything? No. Another stall tactics. Matthew 11. Let me go back here. Matthew 11. Starting in verse 16. Goes through some of this again. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows. And this is the whole attitude that they prevail, that they have. This is Satan's attitude. And saying, we have piped unto you, and we have not danced, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. You know, that's the attitude of these things. When Christ did come, they just mocked him. They just tore him down. So what about somebody coming from the dead in this parable? You know, you almost, see, when Satan turned this around to make it sound like, well, this is humans. These are humans. The rich man, well, he has some money, didn't do so. But now he's going to hell. But he said, oh, please, please, you know, let my fellow people, and then they'll hear. No. It almost made sense, didn't it, before? But it doesn't now. Not with a true eye, true brain, the true plan of salvation. It just can't. Can't. It's always Satan's attitude. He's always a foul ball, isn't he? Romans 5. A little encouragement. Romans 5. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And Satan sees that too. We're going to be saved by his life. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. Talks about these gates of hell, too. All these gates. Talking here to Peter and all that. And Matthew 16, 18. It says, and I say unto you, and this is Christ speaking to Peter, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell The very gates of Satan shall not prevail against it. And as much as Satan has tried to do within the church, and even been allowed to do within the church, we're still here, friends. And we know more now than anyone, unless it was the original apostles. And we always yield to them anyway. But of all the church eras, of all the time, we know the most. And you know what he says, that you know, to much is given, much is expected. Hello. Let's hope he has a lot of mercy on us with that. But we know the very truth of God. And we know that the gates of Satan and hell will not prevail against us. It cannot. You know why? Because there's this great gulf there. And he can't come over here. Oh, we'll go through some personal persecution and physical persecution. And we may die. But we will live again. And we are saved by that life. John 8:44. You know, Satan is the father of all lies. When you lie, you know where that's coming from. Verse 44, John 8. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. There is no truth that can be in him. He cannot sin. He is a brute beast made to be destroyed. He cannot cease from sin. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, did Abraham listen in this parable to anything? Anything the rich man said? No. Because he was a big fat liar, that's why. And he knew it. Remember, it's a parable. And it came from the very mind of God, and he set that out. Didn't make much sense before, but it makes a lot of sense now. Satan saw it all. You know, even in this parable, he shows that Satan cannot repent. He can't cross that great gulf, because it's God's power and will that he cannot and will not. And Satan will die. Let's thank God for that. Not to have that lousy, wretched thing bouncing around the universe. No, he's a goner. He is a goner. Let's recap a little bit here, a couple of these things. And then we're going to go back and reread this again. And this time with a plainer, clearer, fuller, expanded view of why God even had that parable in the Bible and what it really meant. It didn't mean heaven and hell. We may go to heaven, we may go to hell. No, there's a heaven, there's a hell. Satan and the demons are in hell. We're in heaven with the kingdom of God. Nice. Satan didn't want us to see that. We know that the rich man is Satan the devil. We know that this, you know, it talks about the poor in the gate. That's all the human beings, because the poor are the people of the earth. You know what? They could not come into his city. They'd be outside the gate. God says to all of his children, come on in. Come on in through the gate. Come into the city. Come and enjoy. Have life eternal. But Satan, oh no, you got to stand out there by the gate. Can't come in here. You can't enjoy what he's doing. This is his deal. Talked about the sores. We read scriptures about the whole head is sick. This is Satan's world. You know, the whole lump is leavened. The whole lump is leavened because it's Satan's world, and it's his word, and it's his kingdom. He's the God of it. And he causes all of that. I've gotten a lot of comments as we've traveled around. Everyone really enjoyed this, that part of the dogs. The dogs and who they were and what it is. It's all satanic. And these dogs came and licked the sores that they made. They made it worse. Satan is a dog. He is evil. You know, you use the same letters with the word evil and it comes out vile, doesn't it? Vile. He's evil and vile. He's a dog. That's all. That's how God refers to him. Abraham is used in this parable. But Abraham, it talks about the father of the faithful. It says, Father Abraham. Now we're not supposed to call him one father. But he was the beginning there, and it's symbolic that way. There's an absolute miracle that Israel is here at all today. Because they weren't supposed to have any children. And God caused them to have Isaac. And that was the beginning of Israel. There shouldn't have been any Israel. It's a miracle that that nation is here today. And it was by God's hand that it's here today. And what about those promises? That's why I used Abraham here. It says those promises to his seed. Then we saw that the seed, that's Christ. That was the seed. The promise is not the seeds, but the seed. His seed went to Christ. That is that seed. That promises went to him. And if you and I are part of Christ and Christ is in us, then we are also the seed. And we're also of Abraham. And we're also of that promise of eternal life. He says that they're going to be... Lazarus was comforted. The people of the earth were comforted. We read that scripture that God says, it says that God, He is God of all comfort. And that Holy Spirit is that comforter that He sends. That's the very power of God. You know, it says in Luke 16, verse 25, you don't have to turn there, but in that parable, he says that you're the rich man, Satan. He says, you had all the good things. You had all the good things of this world. But Lazarus had all the evil things. I don't have time to read this, but you can jot this down and read it later. In Revelation 7, talks about the 144,000, starting in verse 9, through 17. This is the great multitude. This is all the people of the earth. They all went through great tribulation. All of mankind. That's what Satan made it. Because he says, well, Lazarus had all the evil things. The world had all the evil things. As backed up by those verses. So the whole mankind went through this horrible tribulation. And now God says, I'm going to give them all the good things now. You had it before. I'm going to give it to them now. There was that great gulf that cannot be crossed. It's God's plan from the foundation of the world. It is His will that Satan will die and all mankind will live. We went through Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. And he said many of those false prophets would come. You know, Satan just says this parable is going to show that there is a hell and you're going to go to hell. And I say, you first. There's a hell, you jump in there first. And he will. What about his brethren? So send them to my brethren. No, God, he says, is going to cut off Babylon, all the children, the son, the nephew. God will kill Satan and all of his family. It's all about this persuade to repent. We've been going through that. They can't. They cannot cease from sin. They cannot. They won't. And one, we've just gone through one coming back from the dead. Oh, send us someone like that. Oh, then we'll believe. And Abraham said, hey, you had Moses. If you didn't believe that, you're out. You're out of the ballpark. These things are always lying. There's no truth in them. This isn't. You can turn back. Let's go through this parable again now with some knowledge, some background knowledge that we frankly have never had before. And let's read that. That's back in Luke 16, starting in verse 19. Now, with all of this in mind, with five sermons, what is that, five, six, seven and a half hours in the Bible about this little parable. Now we see how smart God really is. It's always there, always right. I'm just going to read this off of my paper here because I have everything colored in. It'll remind me. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, Satan, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared scrumptuously every day. He had it all. He took it all. And just drove people down. Didn't give them anything. They had to stand out there in the gate. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Pictures the whole earth, all of mankind, everyone there, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Well, he couldn't come in. No, this is my stuff. You can run around the edges and grab little crumbs once, but you can't come in here. This is mine. I don't share. Who do you think I am, a Christian? I'm not a Christian. I'm not Christ-like. I'm everything opposite. Laying it full of these sores. And desiring, verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And that's all a human's ever got on this world. That's all they ever got. Moreover, the dogs, these lousy demons, these lousy satanic things, came and licked his sores, made him more infected. What a foul, hideous thing. That's what humankind is laying there at the gate with the sores, where dogs can come, with no one watching them, no one taking care of them. And it came to pass that the beggar died. It's pointed to all men. And we find out Satan, too, is going to die. The beggar died and was carried away by the angels, this parable, into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, I think so, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Here's this great gulf we're starting to see. And he cried and said, oh, Father Abraham. That's the way. Can you see old Satan there after all of this? Oh, Father Abraham, oh, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. Well, why, what, are you going to kill him then or something? Hold him over there? What are you going to do with him? Oh, send Lazarus here, that he may dip the tip of his finger. Sounds like a Protestant old deal, doesn't it? In water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented by this flame. Well, too bad, you bastard. Too bad. What about when Lazarus was laying out there full of sores? You wouldn't even let him come in. You didn't take care of him. Oh, when did we see you, Lord, and didn't take care of you? Same baloney. Satanic garbage. But Abraham, of course, being a representative of God in this parable, said, Son, son, remember that you in your lifetime received all of these good things, and likewise Lazarus, all the evil things. But now, see, Lazarus, he is comforted, and you are in torment. Uh-oh, table's been reversed. The old bastard's been revealed, hasn't he? The sin has been revealed. He is sitting in the place where he has to be, where he has been condemned to be from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. See, Abraham, this in the parable, he's seeing it right. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. I can't send anyone over there. I'm sorry. Lazarus, all the people there are staying here in the kingdom of God. Neither can they pass to us. You can't come over here. That would come from hence. They won't do it. This is hell. This is the great last day. The people and Satan. Then he said, oh, well, here comes this lying thing again. He said, oh, I pray thee. He's a little wimpy, but a little wimpy now, isn't he? Where was he when he could have helped Lazarus? When was he when he could have helped one of the little ones? Huh? Then he says, oh, I pray you, therefore, oh, Father, just like some Protestant priest out there doing, that thou would send him to my father's house. Oh, what about my little brethren here, trying to worm around? See how nice this parable is? Shows this lout what he is. For I have five brethren. So I have. There's more of us. There's a whole bunch of us. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place tormented. Hey, get off of it. Stand up like a man and take it. But he can't even do that because he's a worm. That's why. When God names somebody a bastard, he knows what he's talking about. Evil, vile thing. So what does Abraham, of course, one of God's representatives, say in this parable? He said unto him, you know what, son? Son, you know what? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Well, that didn't go over so big. You know. And he said, Oh no. Oh, nay, Father Abraham. Trying to weasel in there. He already knows he's not supposed to call anybody father unless it's the father. Oh, Father Abraham. Oh, please, you know. But if one went unto them from the dead, oh, they would repent then. Cannot cease from sin. A lie, if it comes out of his mouth, it's a lie. So he weasels around some more. It's bad enough they did all of this, but the way he weasels and slimes and crawls on his belly like the lowest thing that rolls around the earth, like a snake. When God said he's a snake, he knew what he's talking about. Well, everything's going his way. Been the big dragon. Now he's a weaselly little wimp, isn't he? And what does the representative of God say? One that is in the kingdom of God. And he said unto him, if they heard not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Because he knew Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He knew even Lazarus rose from the dead. And then all the people went around, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him and Christ. Because all of a sudden, they'd lose their rulership. Do you see what a worm Satan is? What a little mama's boy he is? Oh, when it's going his way. Did you ever notice, people? When it's going their way, oh, they're the most righteous people in the world. But you go, and you go to any of your past ministers out there, my friends, any one of them, I challenge you, and stand there and say, you know, I don't agree with you on that, because I think the Bible says this, boy, then you will see their attitude. And it is this attitude of Satan. They're not ministers of God. They're angels of light, transformed to be the ministers of God. But they're not, and they're evil, and they're wretched. And don't think that they're not. Go ahead, when you first come in and you learn this wonderful truth, go over to your minister. Better be wearing headgear. Go over there and try to explain and share with him this marvelous truth of Jesus Christ. He will kick you out of church. He won't have anything to do with you. You think he was your friend? Nada. No. Same attitude. Same spirit. Frankly, I doubt whether any of these paid ministers will ever be with us. I really do. I hope some are. But I don't think so. Now, brethren, when you go back and you read this parable, you'll see it for what it is. We've gone through most all of these words in here. I know this is what... You know, go back. If you can still find one of those old booklets from Old Worldwide, way back by Mr. Armstrong, you will see that we used to believe basically just what the church, well, just what the pagan Christians out here believe about this. That it really showed a heaven, and it really showed a hell, and that you, as a human being, probably you're not going to make it, you know? We had our little variations on the theme. They had theirs. Bottom line was, there's a hell, and you're probably going there. Because certainly, you haven't come up to even my standards. That was nice, wasn't it? All those years sitting there in the auditorium and sitting out there in churches and having people beat down on you to come up to their standard. Never again. As they say, not on my watch. Not here. Not in God's true church. You know, there are no such thing as the churches of God. What do these morons think that they are talking about out there? There is the church of God. And there is one spirit. And there is one body. And there is one servant. And there's one revelation. And it's not all spread and scattered around. Brethren, start to look at some of the other parables. You know, I can't take every parable. I don't have the time. I think I have enough sermons for the next 2 years. I'm barely scratching the surface. So selfishly that way, I hope that we're all still around at that time so we can continue to learn more. Because every time I prepare, every time he leads me into another thing, he opens up more. We're going to be starting this series, and don't write in for it when it gets, when you hear it, and when we have it all done, you'll get it, on the Lord's Prayer. On the Lord's Prayer. That was not just some example, brethren. That was not an example. I don't know how else you could pray, but by that attitude and by those words. Now, not in vain repetition. But you're going to be saying the same thing he said in there. You may use it in different words. But it can't. Once you know the Father, once you know the glory, it can't come out any other way. And we're going to go through that. And I don't know how many sermons it'll take to go through that. Because I know just the first two words, our Father, is going to take at least a sermon right there. Maybe two. when you really think about it. Our Father. What wonderful words those are, and what that all implies. Well, brethren, continue to study, continue to read. You know, go through a parable and then start to look up these different words. Most of you have computers, or a lot of you do, and if you don't, you have a concordance. You know, look up the rich man, look up the fine linen, look up the crumbs, look up Abraham, look up the great gulf, see if it's anywhere else in the Bible. And then just read it all. Don't try to get something. Just read it all. Let the Bible explain it to you. This is the holy word of God that wrote this thing. It's a holy Bible. It is that spirit by how we understand. So as you go through these different parables, you know, you may see some things. You should see some things. You have a very good base out there. And, you know, we can't cover every little portion of the Bible. No, it's not going to be some big revelation that you find out. We all know that it doesn't work that way. But you are inspired, and you are directed by God's Holy Spirit. And by the base that you know, you're going to be able to see things that you never saw before. And it's wonderful. It's exciting. And I have the same experience as you do on that, as he continued to reveal and bring out more things. So I'm actually a couple of minutes short here, so that's nice. So this, you can all write this down in your little history books, that I actually stopped a couple of minutes sooner than usual. But we're done with it, and it was a good series. I enjoyed every part of it. I hope you did. And all the comments that I've been hearing, everyone's been enjoying it thoroughly. So, again, we will say, pray for your brethren around the whole country and around the world, and all the churches that God has raised up here, that His Spirit will be within them, direct them to be with the deacons and the elders, and certainly pray for me as well. So pray for one another, and we will see you again then next week.